Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
How fast can you learn the things that you need to learn in order to execute and be an effective business person? Right? That's what you're fighting, is distance to epiphany. And one of the best, most pure distances to epiphany, the fastest, cleanest way to get the realizations that you need to move forward, is actually to fail. So when you stand up and you start creating, yes, number one, design it. Number two, hold place that you'll also discover it.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Steve Larson, welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. Thanks so much for being here. I have started this in truth a couple times. It's not to say that I've never prepared for past episodes, but I feel like the amount that I'm preparing for each has dramatically increased. And a lot of it is just because of just the new insights I'm gaining as I've restarted. I mean, season two of Sales Funnel Radio is about kind of starting over again. like, oh, cool, good run. Wow, made mistakes, had successes, had a lot of cools, great things, bad things, just all around. Both the business perspective and personal, just all over the place, right? And season two is really about kind of a refresh. And so there's a lot of new insights I'm gaining as I have gone into this amazing new endeavor with Marley in YouTube. I'm not new to YouTube. It's just not ever been the forward-facing business. I obviously have two YouTube channels. I've done, a lot in there. But Marley's kind of always been known as the YouTube queen, and it's been fun to kind of join forces. And it's been fun for me because I'm creating differently. It's different. How do I even say this? I'm learning other ways to apply my skill sets, and it's been super fun. And some of it is stuff that I would have no idea unless, the growth opportunities, I guess you should say, pop up, right? I'm not going to mince it, right? There's always ups and downs. There's always things that are great. There's challenges. It's like, I mean, the business works on you as much as you work on it, if not more, right? I mean, it is constantly all the time. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, Sales Funnel Radio listeners. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You go to sleep, you wake up, it's probably on your mind, if not first or last, immediately, right? Your funnels, your business, all your stuff immediately comes flying on your head. If you haven't quite taken the plunge yet and you're still gaining the gumption to do so, that is it working on you, right? That is exactly what it is. Your business will work on you far more than you work on it, far more. And from a psychological growth standpoint, I mean, you take two people, right, who have the exact same resources, the exact same means, and put them in this entrepreneurial silo and give them the same frameworks, the same formulas, same. Why is it different then? Why is there a different output for the exact same formulas, the exact same resources? You take the exact same people in the exact same place in their life. Why is it different? It's the noggin stuff, right? It's all the stuff in your head. It really does come down to, a lot of this mindset stuff. So it works on you. Anyway, hey, this episode, I've been noticing just to preface all of this, there's been this whole flood of new insights that I just have never had before, and it's been really fun. And they've been popping up in the way of, hey, Steve, take your observation and process craving mind and go to fulfillment and build out fulfillment really, really deeply. So there's like a 90-step fulfillment checklist in an epic process that goes between Asana. It's not complicated. I just draw it in Lucidchart. I know I talked about this in a previous episode, but it's just been fun. And while I've been doing that, I'm like, oh my gosh, this would influence how we build funnels so much on this area or this over there. And right now I'm going over to other onboarding. And then after that, I'll go over to, phone department. And then after that, I'm going to go to. So what's interesting is this has been a real focus on building a real company. Real company, right? Where checklists and to-dos do not live in my head. Where checklists, and it's not to say that I was doing that, you know, in my first business. I call the first 4 years season one. Let's call that first business, okay? Although we all know it was like number 90. Anyway, but there's just, it's different. The way I'm showing up is different. It's far more CEO-esque. I don't know. It's all, pretty much my day is filled with building processes, checking up with people, giving the leadership team what they need. A lot of my to-dos on the task list come from the leadership team. There's six of us on leadership team. I don't know how many are below that, but it's grown a lot. It's only May as I record this. We started this in January. We are we're having a lot of fun, though. And seriously, though, I pulled up some stats of some customers we've got. It's been so much fun. In the past 30 days, I pulled up a few different stats for a few different clients. But it's been crazy cool. 34% of content being recommended by YouTube, 3.9 million impressions. This is one client in a month. 186,000 unique views, 329 more subscribers than normal at the rate, 63,000 more views than normal. Anyway, we've been having a lot of fun and cracking a lot of YouTube from a funnel perspective. All right, so you think YouTube funnels, I mean, it's been super fun. Hey, I want to talk a little bit more. I know we're 5 minutes into this, but I just want to give some backstory on some of this, because some of this where I'm going to go with Sales Funnel Radio Season 2 is going to be, might be even a little surprising. And it's just because what I'm going through, right? And the point of it is to document the journey and share the lessons along the way, hiccups, lessons throughout. I promise to try and keep it as entertaining as possible. Sometimes, though, there's some details that just might feel monotonous, and I'll do my best to wrap it in the story. I want to just talk about creation. I finished the book War of Art. That book was one of the most influential books I have read in a while, in terms of business and creating and creation and being a creative, which I never really knew about myself or owned. And listening to this right now, you know, you dear listener, thank you so much for spending time here. However, there might be aspects of creation inside of you that you just have never uncovered. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be into painting, but I've been doing acrylic painting. I mean, I knew I was kind of a sub-faux musician, right? Certain parts of it, but it's just interesting to feel why is business opening these other parts of me, of my skill set, of where I come from, of what I believe I was put on this earth to do? We all have that, and every one of us has got it, right? And I love some of the quotes from the book, The War of Art. And in The War of Art, I'm going to go through a few of my favorite quotes from this book. But in The War of Art, he talks a lot about how you aren't as much designing yourself as much as you are discovering yourself. And this was a really interesting concept to me because it's actually been on my mind for a couple of years, which might sound silly, but I'm a processes guy, and it has been. And I have had this internal conversation with myself as to whether or not you design a process or design something or you discover it. Do you design process? Like, I'm literally drawing our fulfillment. I'm literally drawing all the checks and balances. You know, does that make sense? I'm putting checks and balances into it. I'm designing it. I'm drawing it. I'm saying this does not exist, but it's about to because I say so, right? And it's a designing. It is an active work. But there's also a virtue to discovering processes. There's a virtue to just getting out there and swinging trial and error style and building processes and building your company, swinging trial and error, just spending mat time, right? There's virtue to that. There's neither is right and neither is wrong. But I do feel that it's together, right? It's more about that you give space for the fact that, okay, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to sharpen the saw, right? I'm going to sharpen the axe. I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare. I'm going to take every single precaution that I can to design an awesome funnel. I'm going to design the funnel to the best of my skill sets. I'm going to build the funnel and design it to the best of how much I understand it, to all the frameworks I've seen, to the marketers who've kind of paved the path before, right? I'm going to do the best to design it. But this is where I have found many people jack up their expectations, and they think that as they design, so it will be. But even in the army, when I was in the army, right, they say like the worst plan is the one that you expect to stay like the same, right? There's all these adages around it. They're so right, right? you make a plan and then you totally plan that it will be different in the middle of the thing itself. And in designing your business and designing a funnel is no different. You're going to spend time designing. You're going to spend time saying, this will be so because I say so, because I will go build it. But there also has to be an expectation that you are 100% wrong. You are 100% wrong and it's going to fail flat on its face. Your identity cannot get tied to that outcome. It will mess you up. What's cool is I think that one of the honest, true reasons why I'm not dumb. I know that I'm young still for what I'm doing. I get that. I just barely turned 34. Thank you very much. A few weeks ago. And I know that I'm young for this. But one of the major reasons why I believe that I am where I am and self-reflection is really, really huge. And I hope that this collapses time for you. Okay. Is that I have done a good job at removing my self-worth from the outcome of a project attempt. And I don't care if it fails. I want it to win. And I know I talked about this previous episode. Elon Musk, he expects his stuff to fail. He expects his rockets to blow up. He's almost more happy when they do because he learns more faster. And I know I've said this also in previous things, but what you're really fighting is distance to epiphany. How fast can you learn the things that you need to learn in order to execute and be an effective business person? Right? That's what you're fighting is distance to epiphany. And one of the best, most pure distances to epiphany, the fastest, cleanest way to get the realizations that you need to move forward is actually to fail. So when you stand up and you start creating, yes, number one, design it. Number two, hold place that you'll also discover it. This is true in the funnel builds. This is true in your business. This is why every entrepreneur who's successful on planet Earth has 1,000 tries underneath their belt, right? I mean, they just go for it and there's so many different attempts they've gone for. And it's because there is this ability to, as soon as it fails, look at the lessons or the major few takeaways. Don't swim in it. Take the major takeaways, stand up and move forward. And that's it. And a lot of this comes down to how many times you have literally swung. That's it. There's literally nothing different between me and somebody who's brand new. I've just swung more. Same formula. I use the same formula when I'm consulting someone who, at a minimum, has, I'm thinking of someone specific, $5 million just per client just to even work with them or something like that, some crazy number. Okay. All the way down to $7 cookies. We have our second cookie client. In YouTube. Apparently we do a lot of cookie stuff. But like, that's what I mean. It's like, it's the same formula. What's the difference? Confidence in my swing. When I stand up to swing the bat, and I've failed before many times, there's a, you got to act like you just, man, it's all on this decision with the total. And it's one of the toughest things to do because you have to be able to swing and swing with full expectations that this thing is, that ball is going to go out of the park. You're going homer, right? Home run the whole way. Babe Ruth himself is going to come pat you on the back and say, ah, attaboy. Right? And you're just going to crank that ball. You're going to tee it all up, do everything you can, work your face off, but also realize that the likelihood of it failing is, it's healthy to acknowledge that existence pre-launch and to make a piece of buffer between what you expect and what happens. And take all of it as the real world life school. That's all it is. Just the school of life coming on in, being your business teacher. The best one you've ever had called You Tried. And that's it. You actually went for it and pissed off those who didn't because you remind them of all the things that they did not do in their life. So when it comes down to this creation power, understand that you design your business, but you also will discover it. And it's the combination of those two things. When you are building the funnel, when you are building your business out, the actual business, not just the funnel, when you're figuring out what you want to do with your life. I mean, how many people are actually doing everything they said they were going to do back when they're in high school? Thankfully not, right? Think about how small my lens and perspective was back then. I'm so glad I've grown and changed. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, there's a few things I'm like, hey, I'm going to go do this. Sweet. But like the only true change is all over, right? Change is the real true constant, right? Change is the only true constant. I love that phrase. Anyway, A lot of this comes from, and this episode comes from, guys, I'm really hoping this makes sense. I hope this really makes sense. And perhaps I should have gone through another rinse through my notes prior to putting this out. But this has been such a powerful principle. I have just spent the last 3 weeks building out one process. One. 3 weeks. Three of them. Holy smokes. I mean, I thought it would take me 3 days. It took me 3 weeks. And this is like a core function of our business. And I'm...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
I'm bringing this up for a lot of reasons, right? First, design with room to discover and realize you're probably wrong. Whatever, move on. Don't get pride in the way. You'll definitely fail then. All right, just get it back up, whatever. All right, you're going to trial and error like crazy. But also, the other point of this is to help people see, like, you think as you, the business owner, that everyone in your team is on the same page about what you're talking about. I was blown away that 3 weeks after into this endeavor, now we are all on the same page and we are not new, right? Holy smokes. And so that's part of what I'm trying to say this episode. And for those of you guys who made it through my early 15 minutes of yammering with this and you got to this major point, this is the major point of this episode. I thought we all knew and everyone else thought we all were on the same page. And that has nothing to do with who was right, who was wrong, what is up, what is down. It's all irrelevant. That doesn't matter anyway. It's not even relatable to what I'm talking about here. The point is that you're, and I'm talking about the leadership team, guys. And this isn't, I'm not slamming. Everyone's this way. And so if you are at all listening to this and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I have never actually documented the core function of my company or any other function for that fact." And if it feels even the slightest bit of hazy in your head, I cannot guarantee enough that if you have any amount of fuzziness in a process, your team has 10x that immediately and in the moment. Right? If you don't have clarity, how on earth with someone on your team? And so this is a big, 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 just like, hey, sit down and draw out your process. When a client or customer is sold, what happens? Just draw it. Keep it super, stupid simple. Then what happens? Then what happens? Then what happens? Where is it documented? Who knows when to hand off at what time and what points? Whose eyes do we look into for ultimate accountability when we don't know where things are? Where does the file go here? What's the file named? Right? Does that make sense? Like, and I'm talking a lot more really high ticket, you know, like client services that we're into, but the same is true for, I mean, this is how I built funnels successfully for other stuff also. Really, you know, we use these for everything. So that's the point. Anytime you don't have clarity on something, your team definitely doesn't. And that's anyway, the major main piece of this thing. And when you are thinking about your process and your company, I just want to like give you a really big, if I can, hopefully like a coaching teaching moment with this, that if you are waking up in the morning and you're the one that's like checking in on every project, everything, every funnel, every item, every to-do, you really don't, and I mean this in full love, okay, because I was stuck in this for a long time, but especially from what we're building right now, it's completely different than anything I have built in the past. But with this and all those backdrops, I'm saying that if you are the one coming up and saying, hey, where's this project? Hey, where's this product? Hey, where's this funnel? How's the follow-up on that client? What's our follow-up system for these customers for the seen but not purchased sequence inside the two-step order form, right? Does that make sense? Then it means that you are the business. You don't have one. You are it. If you go down, what happens? Play the get hit by a bus scenario. Just play the get hit by a bus scenario. Just run it. If you got hit by a bus, honest and truthfully, what happens to your company? So I'm going to issue you a brief little challenge here for the next like 30 days. Remove you from your company. Run the hit by a bus scenario. Document what it is. The power of the documentation of what you actually do, pre-funnel, post-funnel, regardless, like definitely with the funnel, but usually that's the process that's the cleanest in internet marketers' businesses, the funnel is. After that, most processes in most internet marketer companies are, they're really not that existent, right? And I say that stereotypically, so not everyone, okay? Just the thousands I've gone through, okay? And again, I'm not here to like slam nothing else. I'm just here to shine a light and be like, hey, let's look over here and look in the spire. Okay, but just make sure that if you've got this process written out, the benefit of it is it means that you are no longer the system. The company has a system and it's not you. And when it's documented, treat it like a living, breathing document. The processes that I'm building right now, again, you can see I'm totally into it right now, which is why I'm podcasting so much about it. But the processes that I'm into right now are super, super clean. They're very easy to understand. They take almost zero explanation for anyone to follow. Yes, it's like 90 steps for every single video that we make, which ends up being, I mean, we did the math. It's going to be like, as it currently stands, it's like 5,000 pieces of content by the end of this year or something like that. Seriously. Like, so we have really, really clean, aggressive systems. We're extremely judicious on how we name stuff, where it goes. There, we have 7 quality control spot check places throughout our process, in addition to another 4 just in our editing. We've done a good job to toot our own horn, to pat our own backs. It's really good. I'm really proud of what we've created. It is completely unique as well. Yes, other people produce YouTube stuff. But that's just part of the overarching strategy that we do. We do YouTube, but it's like saying that, you know, a Formula One race car driver puts tires on the car. It's like, well, yeah, but that's like, it's part of the point, not the whole point. Does that make sense? So we treat YouTube as a broader strategy for revenue and leads production in a company. And it's not really about the views. Just remember that if this all running in your head, you really don't have a thing. And if you're like, man, Steven, you know what? I really want to have processes. I want to build all this stuff. And I don't really know what to build next or what to do next. And I don't know if I've sunk my teeth completely into what it is I want to be doing in my business and in my life. And I'm like, man, I get it. And that part is really hard. And I got to tell you that I found more frequently than not that most people already have their multimillion-dollar idea. They just haven't said no to enough things to do it, right? There's too many things on their plate. I'm not saying you can't have more than one thing. I definitely have a few things. Okay, but I have a few instead of 50. I used to have 50. So I got like 2 besides this. That's really it, including an NFT coming up, which we're very excited about, which is going to help. I'm going to do a lot more actually on that very soon. I'm super excited about that. But anyway, back to processes. Just make sure that it's out of your head, that you are not the process. And if you don't know what to do next, and if someone's like in your company or in your stuff, whatever you're doing, hey, you know, owner, you,
what do we do next?
You're allowed to say, I don't know. And you're allowed to go into your own cave, which is what I do, and paint hieroglyphics on the walls, which is why I have so many whiteboards, and think and come up with and design a solution to the problem, giving full weight that you'll discover far more executing it than you could ever design while you're designing it. And it's probably going to take 3 weeks instead of 3 days, which is the other reason to say no to a ton of stuff. Just say yes to just like one. All right. So anyway, I hope that was helpful, guys. Processes are just like everything. They are the whole reason why you can have success, but they're also the reason that you can rest. One of the reasons I started getting straight A's in school was not so much that I suddenly knew how to read. It was that I had a plan on how to learn and when to do homework, which was also to say when to not do homework. Does that make sense? Like, that was one of the reasons why I started like just doing super good in college after a while. It's like, it took me a long time to figure that out. But the beauty of a process is that it tells you and teaches you when you don't need to be doing something, which means you, when you get to have a life of your own. And I'm not saying don't go all in, obsess, be totally obsessed. But I just want to follow up with a quote here. Loved the book, The War of Art. Strongly recommend it. Remember that this work does work on you just as much as you work on it, if not more, way more. Any endeavor at all immediately starts to work on you. Before you even sit down and go, let's have that meeting tomorrow, it's already working on you. You're going to go to bed. It's going to start pulling on you. It's going to start saying, grow here. Ooh, let's pull out some of your anxieties and show them to your face there. Ooh, you're going to go launch your thing or you put your funnel out the door. Like, ooh, let me show you over here. This is right. This is the life coach, right? This is the school of life coming on in. This is your real business coach called application coming in and saying, hey, let's tap dance on all of your insecurities now. Right. And then your role is to balk at it. So anyway, get up to the plate and just swing and understand and swing that bat as perfectly as you can swing it every time, understanding and knowing that it's not your self-worth. But let me just finish. I love this quote from War of Art. He says, this is the other secret that real artists know and wannabe writers don't. When we sit down each day and do our work, power concentrates around us. The muse takes notes of our dedication. She approves. We have earned favor in her sight. When we sit down and work, we become like a magnetized rod that attracts iron fillings. Ideas come. Insights accrete. Okay, I love that quote because it's so true. You will never know what to do until you move. And I know that a huge percentage of you who listen to this are already very successful. So I'm not saying you're not moving. And those of you that are brand new, I'm not blaming you either. I totally get it. All the mental junk that comes along with any entrepreneurial endeavor or any endeavor for that fact, right? Just throw life lessons with it. So you cannot steer a parked car. You will not know what the perfect process is until you go. You will not launch your perfect funnel. Day one, it will probably be try 40, right? And even the 40th rendition of that 40th funnel. So just get back up, right? Just keep doing it. And what you realize is just like this, you know, War of the Art book says, you're dancing with the muse of this game. And the muse, as it says, she's approving your dedication. She's taking notes of it. You start to get insights and you start to get ideas, and they will only come while you move. And while you're building processes, you can do your best from your limited scope back at the trailhead. This is exactly what I'm going to do. Knowing full well that when you take, you know, go 2 miles down the road, you're going to be able to see a lot closer what's at 2 miles down the road. So give some flex room for the discover and capture part of processes and the capture and discover part of funnel building and business in your systems. Anyway, you guys are awesome. I hope this was helpful. Just keep grace with yourself on all this and know that you are daring greatly. And many are afraid to do that. And in fact, a ton of people are afraid to dare greatly. Marley and I heard a cool quote from a spiritual leader like 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said, when you sacrifice freedom for security, you end up losing both. I love that. When you sacrifice freedom in exchange for security, you end up losing both. And so don't get lulled away into thinking like, oh, I'll just go do this and I'll be taken care of. Like, get up and swing the bat. It's doing work on you. It's making you into something that you didn't know that you already are. You're uncovering what you already are. And that's the beauty of this as well. So, all right. Well, that was probably the most rambly episode I've had so far, but I'm trying to zero in on this whole topic. And thanks for hopefully it's helpful to you guys. Hey, if you are interested, I'm in a really interesting phase right now where I got two or three products from my first business, season one stuff, that really is like the kingpin. Here's my contribution to the space style products. And we're just looking for some channel partners on them. So if you're interested at all in putting out some of my products into your stuff, this is not really the same thing as an affiliate, although it will have an affiliate link. A channel partner is more of a, if you're not familiar with that term, channel partner versus affiliate. Channel partner is more of like a more dedicated, serious, long-term relationship rather than sign up and get an affiliate link. So if you're interested, go to stevejlarson.com. stevejlarson.com, scroll down to the bottom. And there's like a catch-all form at the bottom that basically says something like, hey, for anything else that wasn't on this page and you still, and you want to reach out about something, put, you know, fill out this form. So it's all right there if you're interested in any kind of like channel partner kind of stuff. Anyway, I'm licensing a lot of stuff. It's been fun. So just part-time. I'm not building anything. I'm just having fun in other models of getting it out there. So go to stevejlarson.com if you're interested and fill that out and we'll see you there. But anyway, hey, for everyone else, guys, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I'll see you guys in the next episode. Looking forward to the next part. Yeah. One of my good buddies, Ben Moot, is still one of the best funnel hackers I know. The level of detail he pulls from his funnel hacks is frankly astounding. So one day I said, hey, Mr. Ben Moot, what if we went through every single one of the offers from the two Comic Club Award winners and see what we can learn? We'll look at all their funnels, their offers, the pages, and we'll see what patterns pop up. And so we did. And it took about $20,000 and a team of people 2 full years. We went deep. The entire goal is to show you offers that won. And you can buy the PDF of the entire thing for just $7 at offersthatwon.com or upgrade and we'll ship you out the beautiful 300-page book for the physical copy. If you want a swipe file of 109 offers that won, listed by category, price points, and industry with pieces of commentary and lessons throughout, and if you also want to see what offers are actually making a ton of money, this is the most simple $7 you will ever spend. Go get your copy at offersthatwon.com and be sure to check out the really cool free 2-hour video commentary that Ben and I did together on the entire book. It actually comes with it. Again, that's offersthatwon.com.